history. I could stand here and tell you stories about Stu and Sarah, but I won't do that. but yes, we're very dear and go back a long way. But Stuart is older than me, okay? I'm not that old, but Stuart is older than I am. Yeah, thank you so much for the privilege of being with you. As I was preparing for this morning, I just kind of had a sense that it was just like sitting in a living room and just chatting. So I'm not a preacher, and I'm not going to preach. But I just got some things in my heart that I would love to share with you. So, yeah, if we can just maybe get ourselves into that frame of mind. Yeah, to receive from God, but I'm not here to tell you something or to preach. But just, thanks, Jenny, just to share stuff that's in my heart. And I ask, can we just kind of talk together? Is that okay? And I know today is Father's Day. And I met Fraser and Jenny yesterday, and they said, are you going to speak about fathers? And in one sense, I'm not. But really, everything that I'm going to say is about our amazing Father God. So though there's not going to be a big emphasis on the fathers, happy Father's Day, I'm going to share stuff that I believe is part of God's heart. And so let's be ready to receive that. And I will share a couple of stories from my life in South Africa. And let me maybe start by just saying I'm not some hero. I know Stu just said, you know, okay, lay down your life and go and live in the other side of the world. I was one of those people growing up, and I said, Lord, send me anywhere, but please make it Africa. While most other people were saying, Lord, I'll do anything, but don't send me to Africa. For me, it was the opposite. And I waited quite a long time before he let me go there. But really, I'm not a hero. We're just all the same. We're just all on the same journey, listening to God and doing what he says. So if you went to Africa because you thought you had to, because I went, you'd probably be not doing a very good job, because if God would be in Brimau, that's where you need to be. Okay, so please don't be looking at me thinking I'm some superhero. I'm not. I'm just Ruth. Mum will tell you that. I can be grumpy, I can be obnoxious, I can be everything that the rest of us can be. And I'm privileged, I feel privileged that I get to live in South Africa and I get to experience all that I do there. But I'm not different from any of you. Is that okay? Are we okay with that? Excuse me, I'm just going to take my jacket off. Okay, so let me just give you a brief update on what's been happening in Johannesburg. So I live in Johannesburg, which is one of the major cities in South Africa. If you want to hear more about my work, then please come to the South African evening next Saturday. It's going to be a fun evening. It's not going to be boring missionary slides. Okay, so we're going to have food. We're going to have stuff to look at. We've got a really good professional presentation. We're going to have some good African music. So it's just going to be a fun evening. So please come to that. If you can email me, that would be good. But basically, I lead a small team, a ministry called Hope for Africa, and our vision is to see communities changed. And they're not going to be changed by doing good works. They're going to be changed by Jesus. And as Jesus changes us as people, then we can be agents of change in our community. And so that is our vision for Hope for Africa. I lead a small team, so we're five in total, from five different countries. So there's me, I'm Welsh, and then I have a lady who is from Chile in South America. I have a lady who's American. I have a young Zulu guy who's South African, and I have a young guy who's from the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. So he's a French speaker, so he doesn't even have English as his first language. In fact, only two of us have English as our first language. But, yeah, a lot of what we do is around young people. We're very committed to discipling people, whether they know Jesus yet or not. So just demonstrating God's love and walking a road with people that they would come to know Jesus and be transformed. Some of you have heard of Cherish, which is a ministry that I formed a number of years ago, working with girls, looking at relationships and sexuality. Still do that. Not so much working with the girls myself these days, but I do a lot of training, so I'm privileged to travel within Africa, Southern Africa, various countries to train other leaders, which is one of my passions. We love hosting teams. So, hey, if you're feeling stirred, you can come visit us. And we'll put you to work in the city. And you wouldn't be living in a mud hut, don't worry. I live in a big city. So you'll have internet and you'll have electricity and you'll have a toilet, all those essential things in life. But we could keep you busy. So we love hosting teams. And one of the things that we've started recently, which is really exciting, is English classes. And I'll tell you more about it as we go. But Noelia, my friend from Chile, so she speaks Spanish, but she's an English teacher. And we've started connecting with people in one of our communities, teaching them English. Just imagine, let's think, you went and lived in somewhere in Africa, not in South Africa, because lots of people speak English, but you don't speak any of the language. And you haven't really had any education. Imagine you couldn't even read or write in English, which is your language. You speak English. And then you get plonked in the middle of a different country, possibly because you're a refugee. We're seeing lots about refugees in the news. All the refugees that are coming to Europe, they don't speak Italian or Spanish or French or English. They speak the language of their heart. And you get dumped in a different country and you can't speak anything. And so Noelia is helping people in our community to learn English so that they can help the children with school, so that they can manage when they go to the hospital, different things like that. And through that, we're beginning to disciple people. So it's amazing what you can do in an English lesson in terms of sharing the gospel practically and leading people towards Jesus. So that's some of what we're doing. But if you want to hear more, you've got to come next Saturday. That's not what I'm really going to talk about today. But while we were worshiping, I had just a picture, and I just want to share it, hopefully, as an encouragement to you. And it was simply of a rock, a flat rock, and it was as though suddenly, out of nowhere, all this water just started shooting up out of this rock. And obviously, you guys live on the top of a big rock. And I imagine that there's times, probably quite often, where you think, Lord, what is happening? Where is life? Where is the kingdom? Where is the gospel taking root? And that was the picture I saw, was just of water. It wasn't a trickle of water. It was like whooshing up out of this rock. And so I encourage you, keep living the kingdom. Keep pressing into Jesus, because water will come out of this rock. And it's not dead. It's not lifeless. Every seed of the gospel that you sow will bear fruit. But sometimes we've got to keep sowing and sowing and sowing before we see fruit. So please don't stop sowing. Water is coming out of your rock here in Brima. Okay, so be encouraged in that. But the thing that I really want to speak about is not me, is not South Africa, but is really the kingdom of God, and mission. Now, who would be bold enough? If I say the word mission, what do you think of? Going? Anything else? What do you think of? A task? Okay, thank you. Adventure, love it. A pith helmet, okay, yes. If you're going to be a real missionary, you're going to have a pith helmet. Yeah. Going, it's a task, it's an adventure. Speaking, yeah. Serving, love it. Building, okay, it's all of those things. What did you say? A journey, yeah, it's a journey. But if I was to give this little talk a title, I would say the title is Living a Missional Life. It's not about doing mission. It's about being it. Okay, so I'm not here to say, rah, 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 go and do something. I'm here to say, let's look at how we live. Can we live this mission? So if we start with the kingdom of God, because that is what our mission is about. And I didn't do extensive research, but the little bit I did, I found 75 references to the kingdom of God in the New Testament. About the kingdom of God. Paul is always talking about the kingdom. Jesus was always talking about the kingdom. And so, what is the kingdom of God? I'm going to give you some ideas. It's something that you can have. In Matthew 21:43, and I'll just read these quickly. There's loads of scriptures here. It says, "Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." So you can have it, but it can also be taken away from you. So the kingdom of God is something that you can have. I have this pen, and the kingdom is something that I can have. Okay. Another aspect of the kingdom is you can be in it. I can't be in this pen, but I can be in the kingdom. So which of the two did what his father wanted, Jesus said? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." So the kingdom of God is something to be in. It's not just an idea. It's something that we can be in. How about this one? Sometimes the kingdom of God is hidden. Sometimes it's really hard to see it. It's a mystery. Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables." So we get the parables. We get, Lord, what is this? When we go through challenging situations, where is the kingdom of God in here? It's a mystery. It's hidden sometimes. The kingdom of God is growing. In Mark 4:26, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head." So every seed, as I said, of the kingdom that we sow, it grows. It's a living thing. The kingdom of God is something to be pursued. We don't just sit here and wait for the kingdom of God. It is something to be pursued. Matthew 6:33 says, and many of you know this verse, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." And sometimes we look at what we're going to get. But he says, seek first above everything. Seek the kingdom of God. And then the last, what is it that I have here, is it is something to be proclaimed. It is something to be spoken. In Luke 9:2, it says, "He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And I think it's significant that it says to heal the sick as well. We speak the kingdom and we do the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is not this. I mean, this is part of the kingdom, this gathering here. But sometimes we think this is the whole expression of the kingdom. But the kingdom is a very living, growing, organic, real thing that we can be part of. We are part of. But we're either in the kingdom or we're not in the kingdom. So tomorrow morning when we go to work, I won't be going to work tomorrow morning, but you guys will. When you go to work tomorrow morning, are you less in the kingdom than today? No, it's just the same. It's the same kingdom. So the kingdom of God is with us. We are in it. It's a mystery. But it is with us all the time. It's not something that we escape from, not that we want to escape. And I believe that the kingdom of God, the gospel, should and can affect every area of life. So it's not just, okay, let's come and worship the Lord. Yeah, let's do it. This is where we celebrate the kingdom. But I believe we see the kingdom at work, for example, as I said, in our English classes, where we have people from many countries, many cultures, sitting next to each other learning English. And there's been recently lots of tension. There's lots of tension in South Africa between South Africans and foreigners. Really, a lot of violence, people being killed. And yet, in our little English class, it's in a community hall, there we have people from various nations sitting together, learning about verbs and adjectives and all of that good stuff. That is the kingdom, because it's God's heart to bring people together. when you go to work tomorrow morning and you rock up on time and you don't steal pens from work and you have integrity in all of your doings at work, that is the kingdom. So the kingdom is very practical. It's not just this gathering that we have here. And you know, we pray the Lord's Prayer. There's that line in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So I just want you to think for a minute about your life, your street, where you work, your school, your family, where you go to the gym, wherever you hang out, where you outside of this building. What would it look like if the kingdom of God was there? Or where do you already see the kingdom of God there? At work. And I don't mean that you have a prayer meeting. That is one expression of the kingdom. But where do you see the life of God? Are you girls studying? Are you students? You look like you're young enough to be. Sorry for picking on you. You're in the almost front row. Are you students? Yeah? Okay. So for you guys, wherever you study, where do you see God? Those of you who work, those of you who maybe are at home and you're, you know, raising children and going to the library and just doing life. Is the kingdom of God relevant to those places? Absolutely. So what I want you to do is just with somebody next to you, have a think. Where do you already see the kingdom? But even more, what would it look like if Jesus answered that prayer? Because we keep praying it. Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Blah, blah, blah. And I don't mean blah, blah, blah. But what will it look like when God's kingdom comes at your school, at your workplace, where you are? Okay, so just take 2 minutes, turn to somebody next to you, and just think practically, be really practical. So I'm not saying that there will be a prayer meeting. Maybe there will be. But the expressions of God, integrity, love, justice, joy, healing. Yeah? So it could be spiritual things, things that you think of as typically spiritual, but think practically too. Okay, so maybe it helps by looking at where you don't see the kingdom. Where do you see anxiety or stress or disunity? What's it going to look like when God brings his character and his nature into those places? be practical. Okay, so just another minute and then we'll come back together. Okay, 30 seconds, start winding up your conversation. I'm going to get you talking again in a minute. Yeah. I took a risk in getting you talking because now I've got to get you stop talking. Okay, so if everyone can come back to me, that would be lovely. Okay, would anyone dare just to shout out something of what you think the kingdom does look like or could look like in your community? There's no right or wrong answer. Yeah. So just doing good stuff for people for no reason, just to bless them. Yeah, lovely. Yeah, yeah. You're not going to get anything back. Yeah, it's good. Yep. Good. Such simple things, hey? And are people going to come to know Jesus through that? I think they will. Not tomorrow necessarily, but just imagine if we start living like that. And because the world is not like that mostly. You know, we said it's stressful and there's people looking after their own interests. So we just start bringing the kingdom of God in simple ways. That is part of what we're called to do. But the reason we're called to do this, I think we can look at it from two sides. If you imagine a coin and there's two sides to it. So the one side is, yes, as my mom just said, you know, the blessing that somebody receives when they're given something. So we can do these things, we can live the kingdom because of the people around us. But I think the other side of the coin, which I think is really cool, is it's for the glory of God. So some people are going to receive it, some people are not. That's okay. But living the kingdom is actually about God's glory. And there's a phrase that I love, and I try to keep it in my mind. And it says that the lamb that was slain might receive the reward of his suffering. And it's not a scripture, but it came from some missionaries who in 1732, there was these two young men who were Moravians in Germany. And they felt God had called them to reach slaves, Africans who'd been taken to the Caribbean as slaves. And these two young men wanted to go and to share Jesus with them, but they weren't allowed to go because they were just, I think, young German guys. The only way they could go was to sell themselves into slavery, knowing that they would never come back. They weren't going to be like half slaves and half free. They were slaves. They gave everything, and they went and did that. And this was their parting statement to their families as they're sailing off on a ship, that the lamb that was slain might receive the reward of his suffering. And that is what can motivate us, because I don't know about you, sometimes it's really hard to sow the kingdom, and it's overwhelming. And the communities that I work in are extremely poor and extremely challenging. And I think any community has its challenges, you know, and you can look and think, yo, when is anything ever going to change? And if our motivation is simply that Brimau or Troyville or Johannesburg would change, we can really become tired and resentful and so many things. But if we keep in our vision that the lamb that was slain would receive the reward of his suffering, then, I'm not saying it's easy, but that, for me, that's what helps me keep going. When I look and I think, God, what is going on? I've been here 11 years. What can I see? That the lamb that was slain might receive the reward of his suffering. So just think about your communities again. And we talked about sort of simple things, but you know some of the deeper issues, I hope you do anyway, in your community. Whether it's family breakdown, whether it's teenage girls getting pregnant, whether it's drug use, whether it's theft, you know, crime in your community. Do those things glorify God? No, they don't. And our motivation for sowing the seeds of the gospel is that Jesus would be glorified, that the lamb who was slain would receive the reward of his suffering. And he receives his reward when the community worships him. And this is part of worship, but I do believe that reconciliation and repentance, the things that they spoke about, is part of worship. Just imagine if the most notorious bad guys got hold of who Jesus is. And their lives will change once Jesus gets hold of them. That gives glory to Jesus. And it's expressed in walking through these doors and being part of this family, or whichever family it is. But the goal is not that they come here. The goal is that their lives glorify Jesus, that they know who Jesus is. And so, as we think of the kingdom, I want to encourage us to keep our eyes up here, that it's not about the community, actually. It's about Jesus, that he would receive glory. And when I saw it locally, recently, as I say, in my community, there was fighting, literally mobs running through the street of South Africans who wanted to get rid of all the foreigners, mostly from other parts of Africa. People were running for their lives. We had refugee-like camps set up in nearby communities. That did not glorify God, because God's heart is for relationship. God's heart is for community. God's heart is that the refugees and the underdogs are all cared for, that the poor are cared for. So it doesn't glorify God. Now, it's terrible for the people, but neither does it glorify God. So it's looking at things on two levels. So if we're going to see God's kingdom come, who's he going to use to do that? He's going to use us. And as I said at the beginning, I'm just me, I'm just Ruth, and you're just you, exactly who God made you to be. And one of the things that I'm learning at the moment, I'm sort of, you know how it is, God's always doing stuff in us as well as through us. And one of the processes I'm in, and it's really hard actually, is all about my identity of who I am. And to be honest, over the years, I've thought, I think I have a pretty good identity as a child of God. I know that I'm loved. I know I don't have to do anything to earn God's love. But over the last couple of months, I feel like in my own life, God just keeps putting his finger on it and saying, Ruth, you're not as secure as you think you are. And I'm like, okay. And he's just shown me practical things in my life. So, for example, I've just become aware of how I respond to some different situations. So I work a lot with young people and they come to my house. And fairly often it happens that we've set up, okay, next Saturday, 2 o'clock, we're going to do whatever at my house. Next Saturday, 2 o'clock, zero people show up. And I'm like, and when I see how I respond to that, it's like God just puts his finger on it. He's not yelling, just like Ruth. That's an identity issue. My response is an identity issue. And so that's part of my journey at the moment. So I'm crying out to God for Johannesburg. I am saying, Lord, build your kingdom while I'm crawling along half of the time, and just saying, God, I need you to do these things in me. And so the reason I share that encouragement, that he's not waiting for us to have it all together and to be superheroes, because we will never be superheroes. Because if we are, we're not being truthful, because there's always stuff, always places to grow. So who does God use? He uses people. And we're all broken in different ways. And we don't have to wait until we've got it together before God uses us. Because if we weren't broken, of course Jesus is healing us. But what if we're presenting to our neighbors and our friends and our colleagues this image of like, oh, I'm perfect. How do we relate? What has Jesus got for them if I'm perfect? Whereas we can give people hope by being transparent with our own struggles. Now, I'm not saying we all have to be falling apart all over the place, but just be real. I've got a friend, one of my neighbors, who Jesus has just been giving us relationship with this couple over the last few weeks. She has a very different view of life than me, very different beliefs than me, and I don't expect her to set foot in church anytime soon. And yet I've been able to go to her and say, sure, this is how I'm feeling. And she'll encourage me and she'll give me a hug. And she knows that my life is not this perfect thing, but I have hope and I'm walking with Jesus through the stuff that I'm walking through. So we don't have to have it all together. And as we are willing to share in humility our process of transformation, Jesus is glorified and other people are drawn to him. So here's the next question for you to think about. So the first one is dreaming for your community. And I challenge you to keep doing it. We start with the things that we spoke about, just small, almost intangible things. But ask God to give you dreams for your place. So when you say, Lord, let your kingdom come, you're thinking, Lord, I'm praying that this thing happens in this place. We can pray specifically. So, but my second question is there anything, and if so, what is it in you that you think disqualifies you from sharing God's kingdom? You're too young. You've got too much baggage. You're too old. You're too something. You're not something enough. You're too quiet. For many people, it's like, but no, I don't want to speak. You know what? We're not all called to be loud. Good golly, imagine if we were all loud. It would be a nightmare. But what in your life have you seen as a wall that's just like, well, God can't use me, or he wouldn't use me because I'm not like Stu or not like Ruth or not like somebody else? Yeah, sorry. I'm scared to let you guys start talking again because you'll. No. Just think it maybe. Okay. Huh? Oh, there's loads more. And I don't want to keep you here all day. So just, no, we'll get to share again in a minute. But just within yourself, just be honest with yourself. Is there anything that has made you think God couldn't use me or wouldn't use me or might not be so happy to use me? Might be a little bit like, oh gosh. Okay, you stand in the back row. There you go. Okay, not feeling like you're good enough. Yeah, and that's the thing that I've been on is being enough. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you can park it in your mind and go back to it later if you want to, but what have you thought disqualifies you or makes you not quite good enough that God would use you? It's really for the professionals, the guys who stand up here, to sow the kingdom and to bring glory to God. That's not true. It's not for these guys. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can keep processing those things. So, my next thought is, what does God's kingdom in me or in you look like? And you don't have to answer, it's a rhetorical question, but I want to suggest that God's kingdom comes through you in the way God made you. Who here enjoys baking? Anybody? Jimmy? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everyone else can eat it. Okay, baking. What has baking got to do with the kingdom of God? Everything. You know, you read the New Testament, they were always eating together. So your baking is how God's kingdom can come in your community. Every time someone new moves into your street, you bake them a cake. And you say, hey, welcome to this neighborhood, and you start a friendship. That is an expression of God's kingdom. Anybody into sport? Any sporty people? Okay. So whether it's watching sport or doing sport, you just gather people who like playing what you play or watching what you watch. And you is like infiltrating that little community and being intentional about living God's kingdom there. So if I can give you an example, when I moved into the community that I live in, it's a middle class community. I don't live in this very poor area. And I moved into the suburb. I might have told you this story actually. I moved there 5 years ago. And I didn't really know anyone. I knew a few Christians, and that was all. And so I started a book club. And I don't even actually read a lot, but I knew it would be a good way to meet people. So there was like a network in the community. So I just put an invitation out. I said, who wants to have a book club? And all these random strangers showed up at my house. Now, we don't have book club anymore, but I'm still pretty good friends with at least two, if not four, of those people who used to come to book club. And so for me, it was never about books. Yeah, it was nice. We talked about books. But I knew I wanted a way to become friends with those people. And so I started a book club. What I've done in the last 6 months, since the beginning of this year, is started a supper club. I love cooking. I love cooking for people. I love having people in my house. And so within my street, I just sent out invitations and I said, okay guys, anybody want to come and join this supper club? And we've already been trying to build community in my street, so inviting people to supper. And I tell you, the first supper that we had, she lives with me. So there's me and Noelia, and two couples came to this thing. None of them know Jesus. We ate good food, we drank good wine. Is that allowed? Yeah, we drank good wine. We just had a really nice evening, eating and drinking. By the end of the night, one of my friends said to me, Ruth, get your Bible out. Now, this is not normal. I don't get my Bible out at every dinner party, please. But at the end of a dinner party, he's saying, please get your Bible out. We need to see what the Bible says about this thing. And so I got my Bible out. And I wasn't preaching a sermon. I mean, he was leading it, really. He's like, what does Jesus say about this? And I'm like, oh, Lord, what do you say? Okay. You know, it was a bit of a test. But we had this spiritual conversation, and that has continued over the months, the same conversation, because four people came for dinner. So my challenge is find, and you know, you don't even have to find it. What are you good at? What do you like? Don't try and become a preacher, please. But be who you are. Be who God has made. Whether it's soccer or baking or dog walking or whatever it is. And be intentional about connecting with people, because you are the bridge between that person and Jesus. And yes, we want them to come here, but I encourage you, and this is not saying don't encourage people to come here, but make your primary goal not trying to get people here, because if you do that, they'll probably just say, no thanks, I'm not interested, for many people. But just be their friend. How long will you walk a road with someone and be their friend and be there when there's a crisis? Go to their birthday parties. Just hang with them. Don't compromise on who you are. You don't have to compromise, but you just be with people. And you live with them, and you be their friend. And you show Jesus to them, and you intentionally always acts of kindness, sowing seeds of the gospel. And one day, they probably will end up here. But that will be after they've met Jesus, because they might not first meet him here. They might first meet him in the pub with, you know, or the gym or wherever else you are. So my encouragement is, be who God has made you to be. But be intentional in it. Because sometimes we just say, well, yeah, I'm just very quiet. And it's other people who are called to share Jesus. I believe we are all called. We all have a message. If Jesus has done something in your life, you have a message. And it's unjust if that message doesn't get shared with other people. But I think often we think, well, the only way to share the message is by holding a microphone or by opening a Bible. You don't have to do either. If the Bible is in you, it'll come out of you. Again, I'm not saying don't take your Bible, but live it where you are, the way God has made you to be. So it's a journey with people. And so this is another question you can think of and you can share with each other. I want you to think about your current relationships today, your friendships, people you work with, where you know people, you've got some kind of relationship. Where do you have one or more, but let's just start with one relationship with someone who doesn't yet know Jesus, that you are intentionally building something with them? And I'm not talking about being people's friends and having an agenda. Be their friend. I mean, I always have an agenda. I want them to know Jesus, but I also want to be their friend with integrity. So just have a think. Who is your friend who doesn't yet know Jesus? And how intentional have you been with them in looking for ways to have spiritual conversations? Not necessarily bring them to something yet, but just to have spiritual conversations. Does the question make sense? Okay, so just quickly turn to each other. And if it's nobody, that's okay. Just be able to say, sure, all my friends are Christians. It's okay. But if we don't know where we're at, we don't know how to get to where we're going. Okay, so make sure both of you have shared, and we're going to come back together just now. Okay, you could start wrapping it up. Come back to me, please. Fraser, just stay there because you're gonna be back there in 2 seconds. Oh, okay, you can go to the toilet. Okay, I'm just gonna share one story and then I'm gonna wrap us up here. And I wanted to just be another example that hopefully would be an encouragement. Another of my neighbors, as I say, God is doing something in Doris Street. So if you come and visit me, you'll see Doris Street in Kensington. Another of my neighbors, her name is Julie. And she and I have started, we're not very regular, but started trying to go walking, you know, for exercise early in the mornings. And later than that, not very early. We're both very flexible, thank you, thankfully, with our time. So Julie and I have started going walking, and I don't know her very well, and she's always looked to me that she's close to the gospel. She's very friendly, but really the relationship is not deep. And the last time I went walking with her, she just started talking to me about her parents, who'd both passed away in the last couple of years. And she was just telling me various things. It wasn't a big emotional conversation, but I was just getting some insight into her life. We got home from our walk. She went to her house. I went to mine. And then I was just making some breakfast. And so I thought, I wonder if she wants to have breakfast with me. So I quickly sent her a text and said, hey, I'm just doing breakfast. Do you want to come over? She said, sure. So clearly, I don't have a kind of job that I have to clock in at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, thankfully. So Julie comes over and we sit and eat breakfast and drink tea. And I just asked her one question, nothing to do with Jesus, but about her parents. And it was just a God thing. It wasn't like this word from the Lord. It was just what I felt to open up the conversation. And we chatted about everything else as well. And I asked her this question and that was it. She just told me everything that she believes. And like my other friend, it's nothing to do with Jesus. But we had lots of conversation about angels, about life after death, about reincarnation, about everything. And is Julie about to come to church with me? No. But our friendship has gone to a new level, a new depth. And I have some insight into her life. So I now know more how to pray for her. Because we went for a walk and we ate breakfast together. Like I told you, I'm not a superhero. I do things like go walking and drinking tea with my neighbors. So that is my encouragement to you, is the kingdom of God is inside of you if you are God's child. It is. There is no getting away from it. However disqualified you feel, the kingdom of God is within you. And you have a gift to give to other people. And Jesus is worth it. So whether there's fear or anxiety or maybe I'm not. Okay, Jesus, who are you? That's why we worship. Jesus, that the Lamb who was slain would receive the reward of his suffering. Ooh, I don't know what to say. But Jesus, I want to share something with my friend because I want her or him to worship you because you are worth it. And actually, I know that as she starts lifting her eyes up and sees you, her life will be changed too, and our community will be changed. But Jesus, you're worth it. So for the last time, I want you to get together, and I'm just recapping the four things that we talked about. So the first one was, what would God's kingdom look like in your space? And if you don't know, you can choose which of these four God is just poking you about, okay? And I hope it's one. And if God is not poking you and it's not this big thing, choose one, please. So number one, What would God's kingdom look like in your community? And if you have no idea what it is, maybe that's your starting place, is to say, Lord, will you give me vision for my, not even the whole of Brymau or the whole of Wales, just your little space. What does God's kingdom look like in that place? Number two, where do you feel disqualified? So maybe you have this great vision, but you just think, I'm not part of it. Where do you feel disqualified? And what does God say about that? What do you have in your hand? Who are you? You're a baker. Are you a great listener? Are you a music teacher? Whatever. What do you have that makes you a bridge with your community? And the last one, how intentional are you being in finding people, making sure you have friends who don't know Jesus? And as they come to know Jesus, you've got to just keep making more. How being creative in finding people who don't know Jesus. So what I want you to do is to choose one of those four things that you think, yep, this is where I really want to grow. Getting God's heart for my community, realizing that I'm not disqualified, but that I'm qualified, recognizing and being intentional with what God has given me and the way that he's made me, or engaging intentionally in relationship with people who don't know Jesus. So those are the four. Choose one, ask the Lord, Lord, which one do you want me to grow in? And then quickly share it with the other person that you're with and pray for each other that you can do that. And try and make it as practical as possible. So it's not just like, yeah, I'm going to pray more. That's like, oh, whatever, what's praying more, you know? So try, and I'm not giving you much time. I want you to go and, continue with this. But challenge yourself and make some kind of commitment to the person that you're talking to. Of just saying, yeah, I want to grow in this area and this is what I want to do. Okay, so number one, what's God's kingdom going to look like in your community? Number two, you're qualified, not disqualified. Is that a struggle for you? Number three, what's in your hand? What are your gifts? How can you give them and use them as a bridge? And number four, how are your relationships with people who don't know Jesus yet? Go. And then pray for each other as you share. Okay, so don't tell long stories. Just share which area it is that you want to grow in. Something practical that you can do. And then pray for each other. Okay, so if you haven't started praying, if you can move towards praying for each other, that would be lovely. That you can do what you feel God is calling you to do. That first step. Okay, if you can start wrapping up your prayers and your conversations, please. Okay, is everyone still with me? At the beginning, I said, what do you think of when I say mission? And some of the things you said were adventure and go and serve and give. And that's what I'm challenging you with. And your going might be to the ends of the earth, or it might be to the person who sits at the desk next to you that you have not yet gone to. It might be serving your neighbor, or it might be serving refugees that are arriving in Europe. So when you hear go and you hear adventure and you hear serve, yeah, it might be far, far away. But it also will be here. There's no might about it, actually. It will be here, and maybe you get to come and hang out with me a bit or whatever. That would be great. But please go and serve and give and love and be intentional. people in your community God put you